Week's pause show. I'm going to go through the synopsis and then we'll look at some other stuff. So we mentioned yesterday about little Aleph and Moshe's reluctance to enter the cut, right? The Mishkan. So then we deal with the meat of the parsha. Rishon Sheni Shlisha, give us the rules of an oile, the fully burnt carbon.
Thank you.
It could either be from a bull or a male sheep or male goat. If you could not afford that, turtle doves or a common dove could be used. And for the people who couldn't even afford that, they were allowed to bring a mincha, an offering made of baked, fried, or deep-fried matzah-type crackers. I was thinking, we're taught that the Jewish people, right, received much money in leaving Mitzrayim, and they continued to have it. So I'm wondering if historically, if there were any mincha sacrifices ever brought in the desert. Did anybody ever, in effect, go down in wealth? I don't know, but I was just thinking. Ravi talks about the Korban Shlomim, known as the peace offering. Can be either male or female, cattle, sheep, goats, etc. And there are different types of shlomim brought, right? They're brought shalmei simcha, on yontif chamesh the chagigo that was brought with a shlomim. We know about the toda, the thanksgiving. These were all shlomim. The section of chamishi turns to the chatos, the sin offering. And there are different types of sin offerings described in the Torah. One is if the Kohen Gadol paskined for himself, followed his psak, and was wrong, right, b'shogeg, by accident, then he brought a chatos. A king or a nasi, say, for example, Moshe Rabbeinu, they would had a different type of sin offering. And there's a third one, Helam Dovar, I think it's called. If Beis Din makes the wrong decision accidentally, they paskin and the people follow, then Beis Din brings a special korban chatos. Shishi and Shvi turn to the chatos that an individual would bring, where a losase, right, something we're not supposed to do, is done by accident. And it gives examples. We utter an oath incorrectly. We do something questionable because we didn't ask someone to paskin. And there were other types of asham for the human conditions of dishonesty and actually giving a false oath. So that's what the parsha deals with. It goes into the details of these korbanos, and everybody generally feels they're highly technical. And the only way to really get an idea is to actually, you've got to learn Kodshim. Either the Mishnayos with Kahati, who does a great job, right? Or other ways. Rav Mordechai Kamenetsky looks at Sefer Vayikra and says, yes, this is the Sefer that depicts the rules of Korbanos. He says, if we attempt to comprehend meaning or symbolism, he said, this is so difficult because there is such a large extent of technical details. And he says, we know that since the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, these have all become intellectual items and not practical. He said, the 20th or 21st century thinkers, right, would have a hard time grasping killing of animals regularly. The notion of taking flour and oil and putting it on the Mizbeach. The same thing with birds. The need for various spices, the ketores, right? All of these things are just so difficult for we to put our minds around it. He says, every year, he said, when these chapters, when these parshas come up, he says, for whatever reason, I encounter people who are not yet from, and they want to talk about sacrifices. He says, I get faxes and texts of individuals, homiletic interpretations. They want to try to expound on these mysteries.
Does Rashi talk about that in the very beginning, the very first parts of the Vayikra?
He may. I didn't look at it. But we know, for example, right? I think the Rambam says somewhere that Korbanos were only dictated by a Kaddish Baruch Hu because every other nation did it. And there's a raft of commentary on what that means. There's the other question is, everybody says, when Mashiach comes, are we really going to slaughter animals left, right, and center? Are we only going to bring agricultural produce on the Mishkan? What's going to happen? I mean, it's hard to believe, right?
That's true, but I think it says, I think it's Rashi, but I'm not exactly sure, that the way a person is supposed to bring a carbon, he brings a carbon because he thinks he did something wrong.
Yeah, it's like,
he knows he did something wrong.
Yeah.
And he's obligated to get a punishment for it. And sometimes that punishment is that he should die. So instead of him dying, he brings a carbon, he kills the carbon, and he says that instead of me dying, I am killing this carbon instead of me.
Yeah, I think,
so I don't have to die.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen that written by Mefarshim, right? But the whole notion, right? I mean, what does the Rambam mean, saying that that the notion of the korban was basically to acquiesce to a yetzer hara the Jews had to copy pagans? I mean, it's there. I put it this way: this is all above my pay scale. All right.
Now, I think what Rambam is trying to say is that the Jews at that time, they were they were slaves for a couple hundred years, and they lived in an environment where people thought that in order to appease God,
right, yeah,
you had to give them
sacrifice. Right, yeah, you had
to. That was their mentality.
Right.
Mentality. So you had to use that. You had to use their psychology in order to teach them, okay, if you think that that's what people doing to their gods, this is what you need to our God. And later on, we teach you that, you know what, you don't need to do this anymore. You can do something else.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, and it's very logical. But...
And secondly, the mincha, the fact that it was a meal offering. Where did they get grain over there? The only thing that they ate, the only thing that they had there
was mud.
Cattle, and they had
mud.
What do you call the mud?
Yeah.
They had no. Wheat,
yeah, however, we are told, right, that when they inaugurated the Mishkan, they brought a mincha. So where did it come from? I don't know. We have to look into that. But that's, and I've never thought, I never turned my mind to it, but it's, you know, but it's true. I mean, did they somehow bring hydroponic? It's a fascinating question. I got to try to remember to ask somebody who could tell me where it came from. All right?
Okay.
Rabbi Kamenetsky goes on with his vert, He's saying the same thing. He's saying that the korbanos were a way to take away aveiros, sin. For some reason, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you've got to bring a korban. And you've got to do it with the kohanim, the priests, in the holiest of holy places, right? The Mishkan, and later the Beis HaMikdash. He says, the Pasuk says, when an Adam from among you brings a korban to God, the Torah then says, okay, you are the bringer. Somehow you are taking something and dedicating it for the Rabbonus Shalom. And we go into the hows, whens, the conditions, etc. He says this pasuk is used for a man, Adam, is not the, right? Is the word Adam, like right, rather than ish, man. This refers to, he says, a solitary, lonely being who once dwelled in Gan Eden, Adam HaRishon. The words from among you, he says, is also a difficult textual comment. Isn't every Yid from among you from the greater nation? He says, I'm going to ask, why doesn't the Torah begin its remarks when an individual brings a sacrifice? Ish ki yavoi korban. Why Adam? And what does he have to be among you? And he brings a metaphor. He says, the Rav gets up to give his drasha, and he's giving Musar. And it's a serious matter, it's somber, and people are beginning to feel tense. Because he's talking about an aveira that people can appreciate the gravity of. And he's asking the people to improve from this act. Then he said he added the clincher. He was somewhat reluctant, but he said, "Does everybody in this community know what's going to happen to them? Everyone in this community is one day going to leave the world." He says, the people hearing this became fearful. And you could see the discomfort on their impressions, on their faith. One elderly gentleman in the back seat had a broad smile on his face. He was even chuckling. The rabbi took one look at him and was perturbed. He said, "Didn't you get the point?" He said, "It's time to repent. Don't you know that one day you're going to have to talk to the Rabboni Shel Olam?" The man got even happier. The rabbi said, "What's the matter with you? Don't you understand?" He said, "Rabbi, don't you understand? You're talking to this community. I live in Chicago." And so, that's, hey? He says, Rabbi Kamenetsky says, the Torah gives the secret of korbanos way before the details. When an adam will sacrifice among you, there are no islands and there's no individuals. Every korban comes from among you. There's a greater commonality, a greater group. The word adam, who was the sole creation, and mikem, from among you, means that there are hordes of people who form Klal Yisroel, and they are inseparable. Every action is somehow an action done, quote, by the greater community. Every act, benevolent, charitable, giving a sacrifice, ripples, he says, through a community. The individual who gives a korban on the Mizbeach, right, is a representative of Adam HaRishon. And no Adam, no person who's an Adam, a descendant of Adam, emerges from emptiness. And no action is just, it's me and me alone. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has somehow transformed the living of Adam in Gan Eden to the existence of Klal Yisroel as one entity in the greater world. And he says, that's the message from Adam, that what we do affects everything. Okay. Rabbi Friend talks about what we just talked about, the various korbanos, what they came from, the notion of the chatos, the sin. And he then says, and we know, he says, it says, where the pasuk says, if someone cannot afford the animal, right, he can bring the turtle doves or the young doves. And he says there's a case where he brings one for a chatos, and one for an oila, fully burnt. He says, when an animal is brought, it's a single sin offering. He says, when birds are brought, you'd never bring one bird. It's always two. The Ibn Ezra says, most people bringing the chatos could in fact afford a lamb. The second person who cannot obviously has very diminished means and could be a pauper. He says, oh my gosh, what's a Kadosh Baruch Hu doing to me? I'm being picked on, you know, and maybe he's even embarrassed. He says, I can't even bring a decent korban. That itself, this feeling of deprivation, he says, that in itself is a sin, which requires the second korban. A person, he says, can thin in thinking, with thoughts. The first korban, he says, is brought for the actual mistake made, and the second one is for the inferiority complex. In effect, complaining to Hashem, why are you putting me on the spot? The Chidah quotes the Ibn Ezra, and he says, there's actually three levels, right? You didn't mention the poor of the poorest, those who bring the flour, right? Flour seemed to be a common item that almost that everyone had. The Pnei David asks, he says, the poorest of the poor, he quotes the Pnei David, could easily feel even more downtrodden than the person regulated to bringing the birds, right? And so you would think he should be subject, let's say, to two minchas, to two portions of the flour. But Hashem says, with this person, I have true sympathy. He says, he's got it so difficult, I do not want to ask for a compensation for feeling badly. Because of his dire straits, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, we in Shemayim, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu, has to cut him slack. And Chazal say that a person who is in extreme pain is not responsible for what they do at that time. The person who has the lowest level in society's economic ladder, right, is totally pained. And probably is angry with the Rabbona Shalom. But Hashem understands this, okay? And therefore, he gets, as they say, cut some slack. He quotes a sefer, Bechia, by a Rabbi Elisha Horowitz of Long Island. The pasuk in Tehillim, it says, recall not against us the sins of the ancients, Avonos Rishonim. May your mercies meet us swiftly, because we are exceedingly impoverished. David HaMelech said, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, please do not hold against us the Avonos Rishonim, the fact that we have in the past had evil thoughts against you. Your mercy should overpower the recollection of these Averos, because we really are so poor. We are really today, they say, says, on the level of the poorest of the poorest. And we should not have to basically pay without being cut some slack. Now, it very well may be that the poor of the poor doesn't mean on an economic basis. It may well be the poorness that we have in spirituality. The fact that there are so many travails against Orthodox and committed Judaism. And what Rabbi Kamenetsky is saying, the same way we understand where we are, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has even greater understanding. Okay, that's today's shiur. Thank you so much. Have a great day.